Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Hello everyone, we're Superhero Stuff You Should Know, and if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance, we got action,
romance.
We got comedy, we got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance, what part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches, and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Alright, so come on down to, wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Matt, I am talking to you while you are over there in Europe doing the Wheatus tour that is like, what, 2.5, 3 months long?
2.5, yeah. I am backstage at our venue in Belfast.
This is
I thought we were going to record yesterday, and then it turns out our ferry, because you have to take a ferry, of course, from the UK to Ireland, and our ferry was later in the day than I thought, so by the time I got here, it was too late for you. It was a crazy day. But this is that sweet spot in between setup and sound check, and I got the quietest room I could possibly find to talk to you all. But if you hear some Irish voices in the background, that's just part of the authentic experience I'm bringing to the table today.
I think it is becoming more and more charming that most of the mailbag episodes are being recorded in between the setup and performance time at Wheatus shows.
It was the last mailbag we did, right? It was in your car
in
outside
my car.
Of my show. Yeah. How about that?
So hopefully that continues as an ongoing
theme. I'm into it.
So the last episode we put out, Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota. Everybody,
yes.
We finished up UHF. We are officially in the 90s starting next week. But there were two television things that we had to just briefly take a peek at. One of them I want to talk about a little bit, but let's get the easiest one out of the way. Al has his second Naked Gun cameo showing up in Naked Gun 2.5.
Yeah.
As a guy holding up the police station, and I'll be honest, I always heard that Al was in all three Naked Gun movies, and I never knew where he was in part two for the longest time because he's without his iconic
Same.
Mustache.
Well, it's interesting because we watched this on there's a YouTube video that just shows the three appearances he has in the Naked Gun movies just in a row. And not to spoil the third Naked Gun cameo, but this is the only time he appears not as himself.
Not as Weird Al. And
what is he doing? Is he robbing a police station? What a criminal. Like, what a bold move.
I think the other thing is that, like, he almost looks more like the 1999 Weird Al.
Yes.
In that clip, because the hair is down and he doesn't have the mustache. But it's
That's
undeniably
true,
his voice.
No, I hadn't actually clocked that. You're right. That's it's like foreshadowing. Like he was getting into some sort of a new character, and little did he know that that would become just his default look very few years later.
So the other thing is something I've never heard of. When I was Googling
God.
Things that Al was in, I saw this thing.
Oh my God.
Seriously, Phil Collins, which was a TV special made to basically promote the Phil Collins album, But Seriously. I'm not sure if you watched it. I only watched the owl parts of it myself.
I actually watched the whole thing.
Oh, boy.
I watched the whole thing.
So the plot description is four TV executives attempt to make a television special to promote Phil Collins' But Seriously. It's mostly made up of sketches, but this film does include a rap version of Don't Lose My Number, a country version of Separate Lives, and Phil Collins doing an Elvis Presley impersonation while singing One More Night. And then this part blew me away. This was considered lost media until it was randomly placed on Phil Collins' first farewell tour DVD.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So... the first thing that I noticed when I hit play on this thing and I was like screaming is the cast.
The opening cast of this. I was saying, first of all, I'm saying to you, Matt, and I'm actually saying to everyone who listens to this show, go on YouTube and watch this full thing. Treat yourself. I realized I did the thing again where I like took so many, I took more notes on this than I have done for some owl things we've done. And I realized, I was like, there's no way we can unpack all this. It's way too much like Phil Collins content, but this is an absolutely insane thing.
You've got the opening cast. You start with Jeffrey Tambor sitting in his office and you just see all these names coming back, coming across the screen. And they're mostly in alphabetical order. They're listed in alphabetical order on IMDb, so that's how I'm going to read it. But we see names like Dan Aykroyd, John Candy, Dr. Dre, Gilbert Gottfried, The Ultimate Warrior.
The Ultimate Warrior, John Travolta, Bruce Willis, and then all of a sudden it just says Pippin the Dog.
Pippin the Dog.
Like honestly, the opening credits to this, it's almost like too many cooks.
Yeah.
Like level of, it is so crazy how it seems like a joke and all of these people are actually in it.
A few others that we're missing here: Don Johnson, Henry Mancini, Paul Schaefer, and Vanessa Williams. And then of course, Al is kind of the bookends of the whole special.
Yeah.
He's the television executive demanding something for the Saturday 8 o'clock hour. And he's also being massaged by many bikini-clad women.
So basically, Al is the head of this TV network, and Jeffrey Tambor, who's goes by the name Jeffrey Tagliatini, and Al just keeps throwing random other Italian words at him. He's like, Jeffrey Tortellini, what do you got for me? It seems like Al makes all of his TV decisions not based on what he's listening to, but by his moans of pleasure or disapproval from the massages he is getting from his bikini-clad models at the pool. So Al accidentally agrees to a Phil Collins hour-long special in prime time because he was getting such a good foot massage.
The best. Never...
Seemingly, like, not to be too crass with you people, but seemingly a foot massage to completion.
Yeah. Oh, it is an orgasmic screams that he is creating.
If I'm not selling this enough to you guys, I don't know what to say. That you have to watch this whole thing. Like, oh my God, Gilbert Gottfried has a major role.
I was gonna say when I was scrolling through it to try to see if Al showed up again, I was like, Gilbert's in this a lot. Like him and John Candy seem like leads.
Yeah. I mentioned before on this show, right, I had a brief working relationship with Gil. God, what I wouldn't give to be able to ask him about this, because I had no idea this existed. His lines are some of the funniest, like, just to drop, like, a random one, like, later on. So the whole premise of this is they want to do a Phil Collins hour-long special. And everyone's like, well, what should we do for the special? And everybody keeps saying, like, well, why don't we just put him on stage and have him, like, you know, sing and play music? And Jeffrey Tambor, for some reason, just keeps going like, yeah, I'm not sure that's going to work.
Yeah.
And it's like, we need to come up with some other crazy idea for this special. And at one point towards the end where they're struggling, Phil Collins just says like, well, I mean, if we don't come up with an idea soon, we're going to have to forget it. And Gilbert Gottfried in his classic voice just goes, I'd sooner go home and kill my family than have you forget it. Oh, it's excellent. The only other thing, and again, like, I'm not going to go through all my notes because truly it would be a whole episode of this show that we don't have time for. Him doing the rap song is absolutely insane. And it is he does a full-on wrestling match against the Ultimate Warrior.
I saw clips of that, yep.
Where it doesn't look like it's a double, honestly. It really looks like the Ultimate Warrior is throwing Phil Collins around a wrestling ring. And it is hilarious in the footage. It is not lost on me that Phil Collins currently is retired because he has such bad back problems.
And I was going to also say...
I don't know if we can blame the Ultimate Warrior.
So here's what I will tell you. There was a quote... I've talked about this on other podcasts before. Wrestlers have a specific way of talking about each other that is like the most beautiful, like borderline carny language.
Yeah.
And Ultimate Warrior is someone who you and I almost definitely grew up idolizing because he was awesome. Oh, yeah. You later find out that he was not a very safe guy to work with and not very good at being a wrestler. Wasn't good at like throwing the punches or being safe. And there was a quote from a wrestling promoter one time when asked about Ultimate Warrior, where he said, every time that man cashed a check, he was stealing money.
Oh, man. Wow. That's a damning quote.
Like, what a mean, like, what a beautiful diss.
Yeah, that's brutal. Wow.
But yeah, so.
It definitely.
I blame Ultimate Warrior for Phil Collins' back issues.
You know what? From everything I've heard, I feel comfortable blaming the Ultimate Warrior. Yeah, he doesn't seem like a great guy. I'm sure you probably also were watching wrestling when they tried to give him the comeback, and then he just fucked it up again. They fired him publicly on the show. Like,
yeah.
Kind of. I mean, anything in wrestling, they sort of make part of the. Even the behind-the-scenes stuff becomes part of the actual storylines,
really,
but they for sure really fired him publicly on television. They were like, the Ultimate Warrior is
gone.
Yeah, he's not showing up. He's not doing what he needs to do. He's done.
Yeah, there's a phrase that they use in wrestling called burying somebody, and a lot of the time it's just fans being upset that their favorite person isn't being pushed properly, but they legitimately buried the Ultimate. They were like...
Truly.
They like went out on the TV and were basically just like, if you have a... They were one step away from basically saying, if you own a wrestling company and you hire this man, you're an idiot.
Yeah. He was completely, they were like, our bad for giving you another chance.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what's not our bad of giving people another chance is opening up the mailbag once again to our listeners.
Let's do it.
So we've got a couple emails that came in through the actual inbox, and they're a bit lengthy in nature, but that's fine. So we got one from Matthew. Perfect.
Great.
He says,
well done so far.
He says, hello, Matt and Matt. I've been a listener since the very first episode dropped, and I've absolutely loved every episode since. I've been wanting to write you guys for a while, but I put it off 27 times. I'm a longtime fan of Al and got into him when my cousin gave me a cassette copy of Even Worse. Much like many of your guests have said, I was a young boy at the time, around 8 years old, and I was instantly hooked. I followed Al ever since discovering him, becoming more and more impressed with his wit as I grew older. Through the years, I often had thought about creating the ultimate Weird Al playlist, pulling only the best originals and parodies from each album in the hope of sharing it with somebody unfamiliar with Al's work. Never did I do this undertaking, as I always thought to myself, no one I know will ever listen to this. Little did I know, I should have just created a podcast instead. I don't necessarily have a question or comment for the mailbag episode, but I am curious if there's any update on restoring Jim Legrando's Weird Al game to be playable. I just wanted to thank you for the show. I look forward to listening every Friday and learning so much about Al and his songs that I never knew before. Keep up the great work. A fellow Matt. P.S. Matt Kelly, it was great meeting you at Four Chord Music Festival in Pittsburgh.
Hey, very cool.
So I do have an update.
You do? I don't know this update.
So it's not much. It's not
okay,
much.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right.
But
anything counts.
Ironically, I believe it was the Four Chord Music Festival. I was driving with Jim to Pittsburgh, and we were talking about it, and he was saying that there was a show on Netflix that he had recently watched, and that it was like a reality show, and that they were focusing on a group of people in Philadelphia who restore vintage computers from the 80s and 90s, and that he wrote down the name of where they meet and was planning to go to one of their meetings in the near future and inquire if anybody had a computer that would be able to run the game so that he could see what was on it.
You know, so, just God bless Jim Legrando. He's really like, he's really going for it here. I'm so happy that this has continued to be, because I'll be honest, I haven't done too much diligence on this myself, other than every time the three of us talk, it does come up always. Yeah. It's like any updates. Oh, that's amazing. Well, fingers crossed that someone, you know, some wonderful nerd at this convention is going to be able to help us pull this off.
Yeah. It's a dream, hopefully, that comes true. I've got a second email that comes with a plug.
Oh, great.
We got an email from Ryan Rogers, who you may know as the host of the Jurassic Park cast, which you and I were guests on to talk about Weird Al's Jurassic Park.
That's right.
So he wrote in and he said, "Hey, guys, the show has been awesome. Just a recommendation from my end. I know that music, and especially something people really cling to, is sort of a personal journey. It's got to reach you at the right time and place. And I know fully well that you can't point a song at someone and say, now this means something to you as well. But Canada's got this guy from Montreal that made the most hilarious hip hop videos back in the early 2000s. John LeJulio." I know I'm mispronouncing that name. "I don't know how much cash he has in the States, although I imagine he's got some, but he's big talent and truly hilarious. I can only describe him as Robin Williams in a dramatic-esque role. It's chilling, intimate, and there's a frantic hilarity laying over the surface. He's released a couple tunes also under the band name Woofies Just Fine." Now, are you familiar with this person whose name I know I'm murdering?
I don't think I am.
Did you ever watch The League?
You know, I didn't watch. That's one of those shows that I didn't watch, and I absolutely should have, because I love the people involved in that show so much, but I never actually sat and watched
it. So he was one of the stars of The League. He played a character called Taco. Now, I remember a few of his songs. He had two songs that he did sequels to that I remember. And the one was just an everyday normal white rapper guy. Mm-hmm. And it was just a song about being a very milk toast white guy. Like, he's like, "I'm just your everyday average normal guy. Nothing special about me, motherfucker." And like,
I'm just looking it up. I think it's pronounced John LeJoie.
LeJoie?
Okay. LeJoie, because I think it's a French Canadian name, and he looks familiar to me.
Yeah, and then there was "Show Me Your Genitals," was a very popular one from him, which was like the most monotone, seductive song, where like it had like, I remember one of the lines was like, "I'm a very good sex man. I'm quite good at sex." Like, so definitely, I feel like I wouldn't compare him to Weird Al as much as I would say pre Lonely Island falls into a very similar bucket as like Lonely Island, of really playing up the like lame white guy character rap. Yeah. But Woofie's Just Fine, I cannot remember what the name of the song is, and I think it's called A New Beginning, actually.
Mm.
It's a very sincere song about the first time he ever saw boobs when watching Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning, and how emotionally scarring it was to see your first naked body and then immediately see that person get massacred in the woods. And like how as a little kid, he's like, it really created an awkward thing where like sex became scary to me because that's how I connected it all.
Well, I love this. I'm fascinated. I definitely have to listen to some of this music because, yeah, comedically, I'm sure he's definitely right in a sweet. Well, funny enough, you mentioned The League, but he worked with Paul Scheer.
Yeah.
Who we had on the show. So we should out his stuff, and we should also reach out and see if John LeJoie, I'm remembering as well, because I think he might have even done some music for How Did This Get Made?
Probably.
And I think they shouted him out for that. So I think that's why I know that pronunciation of his name.
LeJoie makes way more sense than whatever the hell I said. And then the last one that we got in an email, we've got a couple other ones through other means, but says, "Love the podcast. I've been a Wheatus fan forever, and I listened to One Hit Thunder, but I didn't start listening to your pod until this summer. As a teacher, I had more time to listen, and once I started binging it, I couldn't stop. I listened to all of your episodes in 3 weeks. My story with Al was he has many touchstones in my life, but I never thought to buy an album. I clearly remember the Fat video being a favorite of mine. I was still young enough that the real Smells Like Teen Spirit video was a little scary, but I loved Al's version. And I still think that the Chili Peppers Flintstone mashup is genius. And my bad high school band even attempted to cover it. I also grew up living in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, so when Amish Paradise came out, you just couldn't avoid it. And he said, side note to Matt Kelly, did you know about the FM 97 DJ who played the song nonstop overnight? It was a big deal locally, but some internet searching only turns up a quick note from a coworker of his and a stray Reddit post. I don't remember this, actually, but when we get to Amish Paradise, we'll have to try to find some type of news story about it.
Yeah. My mom
had bought me a gift certificate for a local venue that mostly hosts acts from way before my time. So when Al was there last year, it was my best option. And I went, and it was the first time that I realized the dude actually was a legitimate musician. So my question is, y'all have musicians who love Al on, but what's the balance of musicians / artists who don't respect him? I feel like in certain genres, they'd never admit to it. Do you ever get hard passes on guests because they just simply aren't fans? It was great meeting both of you at the Wayne Music Festival. Roger.
Interesting. That's a great question. You know, I think that we mentioned this in passing in a previous one. You know, there, as we've seen, we've heard stories at this point in his career from what we've covered so far, right, of people who have passed on parodies by Al.
But they always seem to be a fan regardless. They just didn't think it was the parody or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess the short answer is if the question is, do I know of any recording artists who have, like, on the record said that they don't like Al? The answer is no.
Yeah.
I don't... Because, again, even with people we've talked about, like, we've had documents of, like, you know, Prince has said no, Paul McCartney has said no, but all of them still very openly liked Al.
Yeah, I think that there was a theory for a long time that Prince did not like Weird Al, but then in the last year we had that leaked footage of him,
yeah,
like, giddily talking about how great the Fat music
how great
was.
Al was. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, so I think that... yeah, I really don't know. I think that, you know, again, it's a testament to how well Al has found his position that it has become clear to everybody involved in music, like, that he does this from this place of love. And also, let's just be real with each other, he does it from a place of love and that sweet, sweet Al, Weird Al bump.
You get that Weird Al bump, man.
People are getting paid on Al's parodies. Like, those original artists get paid every time Al does the song, so... There's, you know,
I don't
know. There's not much to dislike.
I would say if there was anybody who maybe would never own that they liked Weird Al, and this is going to sound really weird, but I think maybe the modern day, like, SoundCloud rappers,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they have, when I hear interviews with them, a lot of them kind of talk about any genre before they were born as beneath them. So I could see them seeing Al, not like hating Al, but kind of just seeing that as, like, old people music that's beneath them.
That very well might be true. And there's always going to be some artists who are just, like, because it wouldn't just be about Al then. It would be about certain artists that are very, very precious and protective of their work as art,
yes,
that they wouldn't want to see modified or changed in any way. But that's not about Al as much as it's about protecting their own work, you know? So I wouldn't, you know, your point's well taken, Matt. I'm sure there are probably plenty of people out there who would just think that he was, like, old and corny.
Yeah.
But I think that would come from, you know, a different place than anything specific to Al.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good question, though. I'm definitely going to keep an ear out for that moving forward. And actually, in the music world and in the comedy world, it would also be interesting just to see comedians.
I think you'd be harder pressed to find comedians who don't respect him, honestly.
Comedians who wouldn't respect him for his work and his contributions. Both of those things are, I don't have anyone in mind straight away that I know
maybe
of.
Maybe 20 years from now, you might have comedians that he's so many chess pieces removed from their inspiration that it doesn't matter. Like, you and I are, like, music and comedy nerds. So we can say, appreciate and love someone like Spike Jonze. But, like, the average person who's getting into comedy and Weird Al is just going to be like, what is this fucking circus nonsense that you're playing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
So this one we got from a past guest and a friend directly on Instagram, and it's about the hottest topic that came up on our spam episode, which is doing a video in which we eat a little bit of every single food Al sings about. This is from C. Phillip. he asked if we had ever seen a YouTube show binging with Babish?
Binging with Babish, I think.
Babish.
Yes, yes.
Binging with Babish. He said, I think it's time for you guys to do a crossover episode. I'm pretty sure he's in New York. He's done a few episodes I've seen where he takes some gross recipe from a TV show or movie and then executes it as an incredible gourmet version. Hit us up.
I am familiar with that show. For people who don't know, C. Phillip Zarina is the name of our guest from You Make Me.
Yep.
An old friend of mine. Are you familiar with that show, Matt?
I had no clue what he was talking about.
To be honest, I would be surprised. I've seen not all of it, but a good amount. And he is definitely seems like the sort of guy who has already done a Twinkie Wiener sandwich.
Okay.
Because it's super fun. Like, he basically just takes the most insane, like, food items that he finds in various forms of, like, comedy and media. He's done a lot of, like, Bob's Burgers, like, yeah. creates them in real life and, like, sees, like, how they actually would taste. So it would be a great crossover if we could do, you know, the Twinkie Wiener sandwich is an actual creation. So much of what Al talks about is more just like
generic
again,
yeah.
like bologna or spam. Maybe he could make us something really dope with spam.
Yeah. Make it apparently fried spam is the way to go.
I'm definitely on board condiments. For this idea. Would love to get in touch. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great idea.
We got another message on our Instagram from, Zebrom.
Zebrom,
Who we've talked about in almost every mailbag. But he says, in response to your request for feedback, as someone who's caught up on all the Weird Al themed podcasts, I'll say that yours is absolutely fantastic. Hands down, definitely in my top 7 favorites. But like seriously, it. Your perspective and insights are interesting, and the discussions are very focused and passionate. I feel like he's lying. We are never focused.
we are passionate, but focused is a stretch. But I appreciate the compliment regardless.
Even the brief tangents provide context that are entertaining and informative. The episodes are very manageable in their length, and I look forward to them every Friday morning. You, Mats, have great chemistry, bringing the fun balance to the show. Even though I've studied a lot of Al, I often end up learning new things while listening. Most of the guests, like MC Lars, UH Jeff, and Paul Scheer, are absolutely wonderful and add nicely to the show's dynamics on those occasions. My only criticism would be that you sometimes play my music on the show. Nobody wants to hear that. But otherwise, great show.
Oh, man. That's a great message. The whole time I was thinking, like, God, I really can't wait to hear what this criticism is he has.
Otherwise, great show. I love what you do, and I look forward to hearing more. Also, can I chew on your butts?
Anytime. As long as we're allowed to keep playing your music.
Yeah, anytime. We're going to keep playing your music, man. I still will go back and listen to your punk cover of We Do from The Simpsons. It's phenomenal. Yeah. And then we got a couple questions that came in over on our Facebook. First one said, question, which is the best Weird Al movie, UHF or UHF, from Greg? I mean, UHF, between those two options, it's hard to pick. But
I would say probably UHF.
I think UHF.
For
Although,
me, yeah.
If we are being sincere and bringing in Weird the Al Yankovic movie, I mean, they are tough and head-to-head, but I've got so much nostalgia for UHF. Like,
I think we said it at the time, right? It's so hard to compete with the amount of nostalgia that UHF has. Like, I loved Weird. I thought Weird was absolutely fantastic. I actually have only seen it the one time so far.
That's what I was going to say. I think I've watched UHF 3 times since I've watched Weird.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I was just talking to the group here on our tour bus. We have a hard drive with movies on it, and we were going to try to load up Weird and watch it together on the bus, because I would love to see it again, and some of these guys haven't seen it yet.
Oh, perfect.
I think that just because of the amount of time separating them, it would be really hard to even just judge them on an even playing field. But
100%.
Yeah, I mean, having said that, I do feel like I feel like I am partial to UHF, but that's, you know,
yeah.
that's just how the brain works.
We got two questions from our Facebook moderator. Big shout out to Dave Mattingly, who
Dave Mattingly,
where we fail to share when new episodes come out. He shares every Friday morning, first thing on the Facebook podcast.
It's so amazing.
I gave him a moderator role on our Facebook page.
Thank you so much, Dave.
He's doing a better job than us. He had two
especially
questions.
When I'm on the road, I've been having a hard time trying to keep up, but I appreciate it. Every time I log in and I see all the comments, I'm just overjoyed.
We must mention this. The amount of people that have, A, now checked out the Harry Chapin 30,000 pounds of bananas song.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
are
yeah.
also sympathetic to your banana phobia has been nice.
Yes. Yes. You all really warmed my heart. So thank you. Because I think I said it. You know, it's funny. Again, I've been on the road. I often, especially before a mailbag, I like to kind of like scan through these episodes and remind myself of the things
we
talked about.
No, you said on the episode you were afraid that this would be weaponized against you in some
way.
Yeah,
well, and I think I said it in a Facebook comment. You know, it really all goes back to like, you know, kids stuff.
Oh, yeah. Middle schoolers will ruin
you. Because kids are the worst. Children are the worst humans we have.
Yes.
and you tell a kid that you have a problem and the kid just immediately comes up with ways to use it against you. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like that's all it is. And so I still have some mild residual trauma from kids coming up from behind me and shoving bananas into my face from behind.
Oh, no.
And it's some really, really tough stuff. But I liked the guessing game that led up to it because I sort of teased...
Oh my God! That, it was there were so many guesses. There was a whole group of people guessing in a thread.
Yes,
it was
and
amazing.
I remember seeing on there our friend Glenn, who I know of because Glenn was also or is also a Wheatus fan, who I see on those forums as well. And he knew because we had talked before about how on Wheatus tours, if you go on a tour, you have something called a rider, which is like your contract for the show, and it has like you know for a tour like this, you have snacks that you get backstage, like food stuff, things that the band need for the day. And we have on our hospitality rider for snacks, the very first line of the hospitality rider is in bold, all caps, underlined, absolutely no bananas.
You know,
so
there's
every
a song
venue
that comes
has
to my
record.
Mind. There's a song that comes to my mind, which is, of course, yes, we have no bananas.
Yes, we have no bananas. Exactly. That's my kind of song. Anyway, so thank you all I knew I could count on the Weird Al community to take care with precious information about me. So thank you all for that. I really was very heartwarmed to see all those comments on the episode.
But Dave asked two questions. One, which Al song has completely surpassed the original in your mind? And besides Al, who are some other parodyists that you enjoy? So the one that surpasses the original, I feel like there's not that many. I think that they feel pretty, they're either on even playing ground or sometimes Al's is a little bit worse, as we've seen with say like Here's Johnny and, Isle Thing. Like I think that those songs are only really listenable because they remind you that there's other that Who's Johnny exists in the world.
Yeah.
I've definitely listened to White and Nerdy a million more times than I've listened to Ride and Dirty by Chamillionaire.
Absolutely.
And honestly, Word Crimes, because it's a way less problematic song to listen to than listening
I know,
to
right?
Blurred Lines.
That's also true. It's funny, I hadn't thought about the ones we haven't done yet, but for me, of ones we have talked about, two that come to mind right away. Mm-hmm. I think that I prefer I Lost on Jeopardy to Greg Kinn's Jeopardy. I actually
think
that does surpass
too.
The original.
Yeah.
And even though it is a hugely iconic song, I will always, always, always listen to Eat It before Beat It.
I think I can agree with that, too. I think we said that we know the lyrics to Eat It more than we know the lyrics
Without
to Beat
a doubt,
It.
I know the lyrics to Eat It way better than Beat It. Those are two that I actually think he surpassed the original. I Lost on Jeopardy is probably number one for me because I actually think the original is a great song, but I just don't. And we've talked before about how like I heard Al's version first, which does of course play a part in that perception. But I just think that I actually think Al's lyric and everything about that song is just a little bit better executed for me in Al's version.
I'll throw two more out there. And I think one will actually you'll put higher than even I Lost on Jeopardy as would rather listen to Al's version than the original. Jurassic Park compared to MacArthur Park.
So that's an interesting one. I don't know how I feel about that. Because MacArthur Park is such
a weird long song.
MacArthur Park is one of the most insane pieces of music. We just referenced the Jurassic Park cast. We talk about it a little bit if you want a preview of when we're still a little ways away from talking about Jurassic Park. But MacArthur Park is a nutso piece of music. It is like one of the weirdest things ever released and recorded and a hit. Yeah. And I actually really do like Jurassic Park, but I think he made it even less. I think Weird Al made it less weird. I think he normal-owed
Jurassic
MacArthur Park.
Park.
Yeah.
And I think just because it is, as much as I love this band, it's probably one of the dumbest songs in their catalog. I think Spam is a better song than Stand.
That's a contender too, actually. Yeah, we talked in that episode, right, about how unclear which of these is dumber.
Yeah, they're both pretty dumb.
That's fair.
And then as far as the other parodyists, I referenced this in our very, very first episode, but I absolutely grew up loving Stan Freberg and like the stuff that he did, where he did parodies a little bit different. He never changed words, but he would do stuff where it'd be like a behind the scenes of the recording of the song, essentially.
Right.
And he would, the way that Al is very good at this, would pick apart one specific thing. So case in points was like, he would do Elvis Heartbreak Hotel, but the reverb would be so outrageous on the microphone that like the longer the song went on, the more unintelligible it would be, because you'd be hearing the reverb from like four lines ago still like infiltrating. Or the one that I probably liked the most, which was doing the Banana Boat song, and it kept breaking into an argument between the singer and the bongo player that he was yelling too loud right next to him, and it was distracting him from being able to play his bongo line. Like, so that stuff, I think, really...
I should give that some more listen. I don't know that stuff that well.
I'll send you... I have his,
send me some stuff.
I bought the Stan Freberg double disc, like, complete collection one day, because I was I love this stuff. This is stuff my grandfather, when I was a kid, found out how much I loved Weird Al and made me a cassette tape of music from his time that was in the same vein. So it was like Benny Bell and Stan Freberg and Spike Jones, as we mentioned earlier, and a few of those other artists from that time period. Modern day, it's a lot more harder, because I don't think no one's doing what Al does. And if they are, they're not doing it well enough to be remembered, right? Like, there's so many like Napster incorrectly labeled as Weird Al stuff.
Yeah. And even more recent than that is the very like the TikTok version of it, which is a lot of people doing the like, hey, what would it sound like if Green Day did Disney music? It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, okay, sure. Like it's, you know, it's funny because you can draw a clear line where this is like a version of like a style parody or like something that it's almost more like a cross between an Al style parody and just a mashup.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll give credit for, and this is a big name to reference, and he doesn't really do that much parody, but Bo Burnham clearly gets a lot of influence from Al.
Well, this was going to say, I think that I don't think anyone does parodies, but I was going to say Lonely Island, Bo Burnham, like a
Lonely
lot of
Island,
the musical
for sure.
comedy is yeah. pulling from something.
On Bo's previous special, Make Happy, he does his fake country song.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think he calls pandering.
And I was going to say, I think the best thing to come out of comedy is Bo Burnham's Kanye song. Like,
yes.
He ends that special with a 10-minute comedy Kanye-style parody that is, like, perfect. Like, he nails everything.
Yes, I would say that as a style parody and that country song. If you look at those as style parodies, like, in the way that Al would do... Those are genius. Those are absolutely genius. And he has clearly kind of moved a little bit away from that in his, like, when he did Inside. And I don't think that's exactly going to be his path that he takes, like, across the board. He seems like someone interested in doing a lot of different things.
Yeah. I would say in a similar vein when we mentioned Lonely Island. Lonely Island kind of does their own thing, but the pop star movie specifically has what I think is one of the funniest things they've ever done, which was their parody of Macklemore's Real Love Song, where Macklemore wrote this gay rights anthem, and then he does his version of a gay rights anthem, but makes sure that as many times as possible he needs to stress that he himself is not gay.
Is not gay, exactly. Still not gay. So, those are...
That stuff is so good. They're really good at nailing... And that's kind of... That's nice because you get that slightly edgier... Like, Al would never do a song...
Never.
Like, no. That's... I'm not gay... like Lonely Island.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
those are two solid examples. Yeah.
And then the last question we have here. Let's see. It's another one from Zebron, and he just said, "I hope I'm not being too forward, but do you mind if I chew on your butts?"
Another one. Wow, a lot of butt chewing. Yeah. Go on. We'll take the show on the road, and then everyone can line up and chew our butts.
Just line up. $1 a butt.
That's our VIP meet and greet experience. Is the butt chewing?
Matt, we're wrapping it up here. We're going to watch some TV episodes for the next two weeks, and then we're diving into the official '90s era of Al. But you're still in Europe for a little bit longer. Is there any shows that still have tickets available if anybody wants to go, or are you sold out for the rest of the tour?
We have a lot of sellouts, which is wonderful. This is going to come out. This comes out this Friday, right, Matt?
Yeah.
So we're going to still be in Ireland then, but that will mostly be sold out. We're in Lincoln next week. Corby, Cambridge, Norwich, Cardiff, Bridgewater. Those are the currently not sold out ones. I'm here until the 12th playing with Wheatus. Check the map. It's not that big a country. Even shows that are sold out, usually there's a show not sold out pretty close by. I have actually had a lot of people come up to me after these shows and comment on the podcasts, which has been really amazing to see. So thank you all. Anyone who's done that, I really, really appreciate it. It means a lot. Matt, one last thing before we go. Are we moving a ranking? Are we doing that today too?
I hadn't pre-planned one, but I'll definitely look at my rankings and see. Is there anything that I feel like is...
We had said at the top of a decade we could make a move on our list here.
All right. And so nothing's jumping out at me on the parodies. Let me see how I feel about the originals.
Go on. Well, I'll tell you what. While you're looking, I'm going to say one. And I will acknowledge that this is... I'll even move it for you, Matt, so you can do your own. I will admit that this comes from how happy I was with our episode, but the conversation we had really did make me think more about this track and how much I appreciate how clever it is and how... I feel like I underestimated it way more than I realized. And so I am moving up Money for Nothing, Beverly Hillbillies. I'm moving it up to between Spam and the theme from Rocky 13.
Okay.
I'm moving it up a few positions there. The more I thought about how clever that song was and the wordplay and the back and forth, and then even the convo we had about how it was originally going to be Prince, which then just made no sense to me and completely scrambled my brain. I'm moving that one up a few spots. I think I feel like I underestimated that one.
So I think this one wasn't that I underestimated it. I think this was a situation where I put a specific song above this song because it made sense at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then as more and more songs came up, I liked those songs more than the song I put above this song.
Right.
But in retrospect, I'm like, but I like the song that's below this song so much more than the songs I put above it. I want to move Midnight Star up to underneath Christmas at Ground Zero. I think at the time when we did the Slime Creatures from Outer Space episode, I was like, man, Slime Creatures is just so... Like, that song instrumentally is fantastic. I put it above it for the instrumental performance. But then it was like I put Twister above Slime Creatures, and I definitely think Midnight Star is better than Twister. And then I put Good Old Days above Twister because I do think Good Old Days is better than Twister, but I again think Midnight Star is better than Good Old Days. So it just kind of kept getting pushed down to the middle when I feel like it should still be in that higher to the top area.
I totally agree.
I think that that's I think that we done did it. The only other thing I want to quickly mention, and Matt, I don't even think I ran this past you. Oh, I did run this past you. If you're listening to this, if you haven't yet, you should absolutely go and subscribe to the Geekscape YouTube channel.
Yes.
Because there will be at least one opportunity to definitely see Matt and I. We will be celebrating the 3-year, I want to say, 3 or maybe even 4 year anniversary of One Hit Thunder by doing a live One Hit Thunder episode live stream on Black Friday. That would be November the 24th. I think we're doing 6 o'clock. I haven't even ran past you kind of what we're thinking about doing, but there will be opportunities to see Matt Milligan at some point during that, and you'll definitely see me because I'll be there. And then a couple weeks later, on December 8th, I'll be doing a 24-hour charity live stream. I don't believe Weird Algorithm will be making it onto the schedule. That could change. Who knows?
It's a tight schedule, guys. It's a tight schedule.
But Matt Milligan is in about 1,000 bands, so maybe you'll see some type of performance involving Matt Milligan somewhere in that day if the timing works out. It's not an impossibility.
Yes.
But until then, they're coming to take Matt away. Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween. Yikes. From Weird Algorithm, and we'll be back next week
and
with your regularly
real quick
program.
Before we go, happy slightly belated birthday to Weird Al.
Oh,
I almost
yes.
forgot.
Oh, my God. We almost
meant to
forgot.
Record. We meant to record yesterday, which was Al's 64th birthday. And as I mentioned, I got stuck on a ferry and I couldn't do it. We are recording the day after Al's 64th birthday. But everyone.
Here's the 64 more, Al.
64 more years of Al, whether he likes it or not. 64 more years.
Hello, everyone. We're Superhero Stuff You Should Know, and if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance. We got action.
Romance.
We got comedy. We got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance. What part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches, and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
All right, so come on down to... Wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Hello, everyone. We're Superhero Stuff You Should Know. And if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance. We got action.
Romance.
We got comedy. We got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance. What part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
All right, so come on down to... Wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.